First of all, I would like to thank you, Ajahn, Nina, Shara, Jonathan, Tambat, everybody who was here. And I don't know to say about works, my works, but I just say about what I rise and pass away about I'm thinking. Because this morning I told Ajahn about I decide to go home earlier because I have many mosquito bites me a lot, and many conditions change. That's why I feel can't stay here anymore. And Ajahn encourage me to talk about Dhamma before I'm leaving. I'm nervous because I am a lady, a person who very nervous talk with the public. Only if I talk a small group or one by one or anyone, I feel I can't able to talk. But Ajahn told me, you talk now, Dhamma now. I'm very happy, but I decide to go home. Whatever emotion, it's not mine, but not understand yet. My emotion, my unpleasant. Because I feel I miss opportunity to listen to Dhamma if I go home earlier. Dhamma is at the moment seeing, hearing, listening, consideration. Not forgetting about seeing, hearing, touching visible, touching tangible object. That's why I feel I am okay to go home earlier, because I confident with the Dhamma. I don't care I go home early or late, what day, more day, I don't care. But another, I appreciate Shara because she not the support the long time Ajahn who is near, know a lot about Dhamma reality. I appreciate her because she very helping me all the time when I she can see me what I want, what I need. And Nina, first time she happy to see me because I my mom was passed away few months ago, and she wanted to hear about what my mom will pass away and about how I'm feeling, because she had the same situation with me. She lost her husband, who is love. She couldn't forget her husband. She want to me share about emotion, about what I'm thinking about lost a family. I asked her why her husband passed away. She still remember her husband because we know the Dhamma, why we attachment too much. She told me, I can't, because she lived with longer, her husband 60 years, long life. She never forgot. But she tried to understand about no one there. She lived alone. She tried. That's why she asked many questions to Ajahn. How she can forget her husband.
You know that Kunina hasn't forgotten her husband in this life. What about her husband last life? Ask her. If she forgot.
What about her husband last life?
Yeah.
Where is he?
I have no idea about my husband's last life. Maybe I had no husband. I don't know about my last life. It's past already. So no use to think much about it, you see. And Ajahn always explained, we have forgotten about last life, but once this life will be last life, the same. And so we go on in samsara. All the time, going around, losing dear people, being reborn again, losing dear people and dying.
And at the end of this life, next life, everyone we're so attached to in this life will be completely forgotten, just like we've forgotten everyone in last life.
Yes, to old ones, that we don't know each other and the dear people for a long time. All our friends is not a long time, only this life, which is very short. I remember in your book.
It's not my word, it's the chance.
A lot to think of so many lives, you see, not only this life. It really helps a lot that we don't, our thoughts are fixed all the time, our dear persons here in this life that we have lost and that we feel so sorry. And when we feel so sad, it's actually clinging to self, our own personality, our own feelings that we cling to. I am so poor me, I regret so much, I feel so unhappy, and it all passes so quickly because of the Abhidhamma. We learn that each moment is so short, each citta falls away immediately, and then there is another citta and it's all gone. So then, little by little, we try not to hold on to our thoughts and our feelings so much, and our emotions.
Have you ever thought about her husband now become to be reborn a human being, and he got a new wife?
You told me about your thoughts about a person born in the same family the other day, but it's all thinking and speculation. We never know about that. So it is not very useful. It's not this moment to understand this moment.
And we had a little chat about on the bus, and I think don't worry too much because I think now Heng has decided she's staying. And we had a little chat about putting up with hardship. So on this trip, we all put up with quite a lot of hardship. We have mosquito bites, we have aches and pains from sitting on the bus a long time. It's hot. We have long journeys. Sometimes the food may not be suitable. Everyone has their own difficulties. But because we all have so much confidence and interest in the Dharma, that's why we all travel a long way to share with our friends and listen and see the benefit. And at those moments of considering the Dharma and developing more understanding, at those moments, no thought about hardships or difficulties or problems or poor me, because there's only that kind of thinking at moments of akusala, but at moments of kusala, moments of wise consideration, at moments of sharing or kindness, no thought about my pain, my ache, my problem. And I mentioned that people like Nina has difficulty getting in and out of the bus, or some people have problems going to the bathrooms. But we all endure, and what we endure is nothing to what people endured in the time of the Buddha in order to come and listen to him, living in forests, putting up with wild animals. Actually, it's very little, just brief moments of akusala vipaka, like at a moment of painful feeling, and then lots and lots of thinking of with unhappiness or aversion, but learning to endure. This is what is meant also by kanti parami, being patient with what is conditioned at this moment for the sake of developing understanding. Would you like to say more, Nina?
Sure. Ajahn always encourages us not to think of ourselves, and then we don't mind so much what happens when it is a little difficult or it's all gone in the next moment. And when we think of Dhamma and we talk about Dhamma, we also forget to think of ourselves or how difficult it is, or we don't find it so difficult then. Sarah gives always a good example, I find, to good reminders about this.
I think it will be useful for Miss Hương if we tell her about Queen Upari, but my English is not so good to tell her about this story in the Sutta. It's about Queen Upari who died before the king, and the king was very sad, and Bodhisattva make him meet Queen Upari in the next life. She was born to be a worm and follow the male worm. That is her new husband. And she said she loved the new husband, which is a worm, more than the king. So this is a story.
I think you're meaning about the lady who lost one by one every family member, husband, father, mother, each children, and then she went to the Buddha and she was she had gone completely crazy, was very totally distraught, and turned up naked in front of the Buddha. And someone put a cloak around her, and then he taught about realities and the impermanence of everything that is conditioned. And she understood what the Buddha was talking about and was not crazy any longer, was not disturbed by her own thinking and her own attachment and loss anymore.
I can't remember the name of the people involved in the story, but is there not a story of someone else who had lost family members and was very distraught, who went to the Buddha, and the Buddha asked her to go to every home and find someone, find a home where nobody had lost anyone. And of course she couldn't do that. In every home, in every household, there had been losses of people.
It's a good time for us now to know the truth, to understand the truth. Even now in this room, nobody is here, no one. Only reality, seeing, hearing, thinking. At each moment, its reality arises and falls away all the time. Nobody is here.
What about we only say no one there? No one, not me, not I, but how about how much you understanding? Sometimes I would you.
We have to learn. It's, we know it's true, but we know that very, very slowly we can really understand this. But still, in the meantime, it's good to be reminded of the truth that there is no person there, although we have not realized the truth of anatta. So it means little by little only. But the beginning can be there. And that helps already.
What about if say about beginning, we learn about anatta. Beginning mean every moment, or beginning with intellectual, or with what beginning? Say every more moment. About
every moment.
Beginning.
Now and then. So we can consider when Ajahn says no one there, and then we consider, because he speaks about seeing and about hearing, and the seeing cannot be I or a person, and hearing cannot be I. So slowly, slowly, we have to have patience and courage to develop slowly. And it is impossible that it is quick. Impossible. We have too much ignorance and attachment accumulated.
We should about confident about Buddha teaching first about anatta. First, for beginning, it is.
In the beginning, we don't have so much confidence yet, but as understanding grows, also there is more confidence because we see more and more the benefit of living alone.
Anyone have a question?
I just wanted to add that we cannot begin other than where we are. Where we have to begin is where we are. So a lot of ignorance now, so we just learn little by little. We cannot say that we should begin like this or like that because everything is conditioned.
About the all the time and having direct awareness all the time, and this, because it's not like that. So just be content to begin to consider and understand a little more as you are, and no need to think about the results or when it's more, or because it's just this moment.
But we always are thinking about future. We all way about thinking about result. We always thinking about how long. Is it nature? Is it?
Because why is there thinking so much about how long and results and all the time? What is the reason we think like this? Because of so much clinging to oneself, right? So it hinders the development. Instead of helping the understanding, it hinders, it makes the path longer because the strong clinging to results and expectations of how it'll be means no understanding now of what appears very naturally.
Because the reality, not thinking. It is true, because the reality, not only by thinking, it is true.
At the moment of thinking, how long will it take, and when will there be
more understanding, and what will be the result? At those moments, it is thinking, lots of thinking about me and my progress and my understanding at that moment. No detachment from what appears, as Nina said, more likely attachment, ignorance, seeing, visible objects. So no need to try to be aware, no need to think about being directly understanding now, no need to think about the result in the future. Just begin to consider and understand more about dharmas now, so that that understanding becomes firmer and firmer and less clinging to oneself and results.
But this morning Ajahn emphasis about ignorance about and banya. Ajahn, would you please say again if ignorance function working? And something like this. I forgot about this morning. Ajahn talked about reality of ignorance. It is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you see that the teachings of the Buddha must be so very subtle. So if we pay respect to him, to his virtues, we study each word carefully in order to really understand it, not just listen and still keep our own idea about it different from what we heard. For example, seeing now or everything which appears is conditioned to arise. By understanding this, one can see that no matter pleasant feeling or unpleasant feeling, no body can do anything because it's already arisen. Even thinking right now is already arisen. No one can do anything. By understanding this, one can see that life keeps on going by conditions from moment to moment. But ignorance takes each moment as I or whatever with no understanding enough to abandon the idea of I. For example, feeling now is not seeing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, each has its own characteristic of not self. So much to learn, so much to be heard again and again and again in order to have understanding little by little. Otherwise, it's like I heard about anatta, so I'd like to have anatta now or experience directly the arising and falling right now. It's impossible because it's no one at all. So the moment that it's the opportunity to listen to Dhamma is not quite easy to find, I think. It depends on conditions too. Who knows what would happen next moment? Or tomorrow, see? So this moment of hearing the teachings can be accumulated little by little on with the confidence in the teachings that it's best than everything else in the world. So the most precious moment in life is moment of understanding. And it's only at moment of discussing, considering whatever appears now as it is, and begin to see that it's better than everything else. Because I know that you have confidence in the teachings and the Buddha, but that is not enough. Because since the teachings and the reality is so very subtle, it needs more words and more considering in order to really understand until it's there, accumulated deeply. Otherwise, there must be condition for forgetfulness all the time by conditions. Even right now, your feeling, your thinking is conditioned reality. Right? Know you who make it arise, but it is conditioned to be such and such. And not just now, any moment, it has to be like this. Hearing is conditioned to arise, it falls away, see? But it has to be the developed panya to understand that. So in the beginning, there must be listening and listening and listening again and again in order to really see that what the Buddha taught was is so true. Is there your body now? Is there your body now? So what is there?
This body not belong to anyone. This is just a rupa.
That is thinking.
Yeah, that is thinking, because
but the rupa which you take for my body hasn't appeared as a reality yet, right? You just have the idea that the body that you have taken for a long time, it's not your body at all, right? From hearing. But at moment of holding the microphone, it's not your hand?
No.
So what is that?
That harness, softness, right. Rupa, not right. which are not experienced.
Right, this is so true. But is that the understanding of hardness which appear right now? Or is only thinking?
Only thinking.
So it takes time to realize that it's not only thinking that can be understood by conditions at moment when it appears. So no one can have the right understanding very firmly in the beginning to understand everything as it is. Even one heard a lot about realities as they are, but still the idea of self is much longer accumulated than not many moments of hearing about it. So it is very important not just to think that I can answer that rupa is not me, right? Seeing is not me. That is only thinking. But it must be panya, which really abandoned attachment to it as self at this moment. Until then, that's why we listen again and again and again. Because no one can do anything, but right understanding develops from moment of one understanding to another moment of more understanding, to another moment of more understanding, little by little. So without hearing, considering, discussing, there's not enough condition for understanding, to understand whatever appears right now. So when will you hear it again?
Sorry?
When will you hear Dhamma again?
Can you hear?
When will you hear Dhamma again?
Now.
Again. Will. Again.
I don't understand what your question. Every moment when we listen to Dhamma is the now, not future. Because now we hear. That is an opportunity, accumulation for next life or whatever. Mm-hmm. But now, more important.
Yeah. That's very good understanding. Yeah.
Just sharing with you a little bit, because I think we have more or less the same background that we do meditation before we meet Achan. It is also my speculation, but maybe you can find something that can fit into your case. I think that a lot of people, when we are used to do the meditation, we have this very rooted tendency to look for result, for experience. So when we listen to Achan, we can say, oh, that's great. This is about realities, and it is about vipassana. And listening Achan talking about vipassana and realities, it will enable me to experience that. And we think that it can happen quickly. But you know that now, but when we hear more and more about it, we know that it's very far from happening. And we really need a lot of patience to listen. You know that all our friends in Vietnam, we travel to Sri Lanka to listen to Achan, and we try to invite her as much as we can to Vietnam to listen again and again. And so the opportunity to listen to the Dhamma is really so precious. So I hope that you can appreciate also this opportunity and continue listen, because all the hardship is nothing compared to, you know, the hardship that we have to endure life after life.
I think I think what you say is actually just what I was thinking earlier too. Like at lunchtime, I was speaking to another friend who has also had a background of a lot of meditation and still has interest in meditation. And when the friend listens to Ajahn, he says, oh, this is wonderful, yes, you know, visible objects seen, sounds heard. And now seeing sees visible object and there is detachment or apartness from visible object. And it's clear, it's just visible object. And now there's no attachment and I don't think about other things. But it's that clinging to result, clinging so much to being aware or understanding that it seems when we hear about these dhammas that there is the awareness or there is understanding. And there's also still a kind of subtle wrong practice, a subtle kind of trying to be aware or trying to be detached and thinking that this means that one's lifestyle will somehow be different. One won't be so involved in what is seen or heard. But as Nina was stressing at lunchtime, it has to be, the development of understanding has to be so very, very natural. And even now, if there's some idea of, oh yes, visible object, there's detachment, it's wrong practice, the wrong path at that moment. So even while listening to Dharma, moments of wrong practice can creep in, no matter if one has been a meditator before or not, because that wrong practice is so strongly ingrained and the clinging to results is there. So that's why the path is very subtle and why the Buddha taught about a right path and a wrong path. And we may think that, oh, now we've listened a lot to Ajahn and understood more about the teachings, it's clear what is the right path and we're no longer interested in the wrong path. But when understanding develops, it begins to know there's more and more moments of more subtle wrong view and more and more ignorance, far more than ever imagined.
I remember it useful at one point when it suddenly dawned on me that the arising, you know, when banya arises, it arises just like seeing because there are conditions for it. It's no different. It's natural. It's completely natural, like seeing's natural. Hearing is natural. Thinking is natural. So there's no, without expectation, without trying, is how it arises. And it will only accumulate and arise that way if there's more and more hearing of the Dhamma and wise consideration of what's heard, all of which, to be true to the path, has to arise naturally without trying to force it one way or the other or do special things.
Ajahn, what about if someone don't know yet about learning reality, should we convince them to learn in reality or not?
I think that no one can convince anyone at all, even Buddha himself. He didn't say, do this, but he talked about the truth of unwholesome and wholesome deeds for the person to think or to consider. And Panya begins to see the danger of not understanding reality as it is will bring about more and more akusala. See? That's why I think that it's not just tell me to do, is this right? Shall I go on? That's not the right thing at all. Because people have different accumulations. And it has to be one's own accumulation to develop understanding or just to follow the other's word. even the Buddha's words. Some would say that, oh, Buddha said this, but it doesn't mean that. He told you to do this, but he taught about the truth of everything. For example, sila, or dana, or bhavana. This is life at each moment that one cannot understand the depths of the teaching. For example, usually before hearing the teachings, one just think about sila as wholesome sila, right? Abstaining from killing, from hurting the others through different means. But actually, it's not tell anyone not to kill or not to steal. It doesn't work, because what happened comes from ignorance and not understanding reality at all. Even one would say that, oh, it's not me, but actually, who is saying so? Seeing is a reality. Anyone can talk like this. It arises by conditioned. It falls away instantly. Anyone can just talk with some understanding, but not at moment of talking or seeing at all. So right understanding develops much more than this, so that it can discern or penetrate the truth at once, but not from the idea of self who tries and tries so much to have it, but to learn to understand that each word bring about detachment. So it has to be understanding only which can perform the function of detachment. Because you see that whatever arises falls away, and the next one is conditioned, arising again and falls away. Who knows? It's only thinking about it. But actually, that is not enough at all to eradicate defilements, because when there is unpleasant feeling from any circumstances or happenings, it's I again, not understanding reality as it is. And when one is so very happy, it's me again, I again, not understand it. It's so very short, because whatever is there is conditioned to arise and falls away in split seconds, and never arise again, never to arise again, never come back at all. So this moment is gone completely until it will be the last moment of this life and the next, the first moment of next life. Who knows that this has to go on. But right understanding can be accumulated from time to time until at moment of hearing about the teachings again, right understanding can grow and develop more and more. Like, I don't know whether you have thought about learning about the teachings of Buddha, or come across the teachings of Buddha, or following the teachings of Buddha. Because when I was not like this, I had no idea before that I would be so interested in the teachings like this at all. Who knows? But the accumulation is there, see? So just accumulate right understanding on and on. And Sankhara or Sankhara Khanda, the Chetasika, the Panya itself, will work its function. It will lead to any moment, circumstances in the wholesome way.
Would you please tell me one more time again? This morning I picked up, cleaned up the bottle, and Ajahn told me, Kusala, and I answer Kusala with understanding or without understanding. And Ajahn says, Anatta. I mentioned, but because another time Ajahn talked about at the moment wholesome or unwholesome reality go arising and pass away immediately. How we
experience it? how we understand and experience correctly. See, no eye can do anything. Right understanding begin to understand little by little. That's why what is meant by the development of understanding or understanding develops without any seed of understanding at all, can understanding grow or develop? So now at this moment, any moment of understanding is there, accumulated in order to condition another moment again of listening and considering and developing more detachment from taking reality for self.
What about if a kusala at the moment with our understanding is mean kusala? Of course, it's a lovely kusala, and they have the karma for next moment or for the future?
Which will condition its vipaka, its result. That's why we have to learn that there is no one. The wholesome moment will condition its result later. So the first moment of life is the result of one karma. Without wholesome or unwholesome deeds, there is no condition for any rebirth at all. Right? All arahatas do not have conditions to be reborn or after death.
What about if akusala at the moment with understanding is become the is at the moment kusala with understanding is mean understanding banya working
yesterday understanding was gone at the moment without something
mm-hmm.
Yesterday understanding was gone. This morning, understanding was gone. But from then on until now, it's there, accumulated, to understand better and better. No matter in what situation, the understanding of the teachings can condition the abandoning of sorrow or unpleasant feeling because of understanding that it's just a moment.
What about if one do the wholesome, do the wholesome with raven, with attachment?
Different moment. Yeah. The akusala cetasikas cannot arise with kusala cetasika.
Because of every moment chitta change, but we
by conditions,
never know.
Can it be known? Can
Understanding with
anya. Not now yet.
Not now.
But later. Can it be known?
In knowledge all the time.
It can be, but not by anyone. Mm. But by the development of panya itself. So there must be very firm understanding about the abandoning of the idea of self. From what? From whatever appears now only. Because there's great accumulation of attachment and ignorance, but it does not appear. And also the accumulation of right understanding as well. But at this moment of seeing, it's time to know how much the understanding is accumulated and how less ignorance is there. As long as there is not the direct understanding of reality as not self, it means that the understanding of reality is not enough. It's not strong enough to letting go the idea of self. Whenever there is seeing, So in the beginning, there must be the understanding of what is seen and what is seeing.
Even now, if reality not arising and pass away, we don't expect.
Just learn to understand patient, yeah. That usually I see you, I have the idea of you, still the notion of you at moment of whisper object appearing. But Buddha penetrated the truth, and when he said that seeing experiences visible object, or ruparamana in Pali, many people do not pay attention to that at all, to seeing and that which is seen. It seems very simple, but actually just a characteristic, a reality which is now appearing, takes time to be object of abandoning from taking it for something. Like usually this is a glass, right? But it's not a glass. That is thinking. But at moment of beginning to understanding, any moment of seeing, that is only that which can appear to seeing only. Just to seeing only. So how can there be something in it? Close one's eyes, there's nothing left. But as soon as one opens one's eye, so many things in this room, how fast the rapidity of the succession of the arising and falling away is from moment to moment, together with other doorway, seems like seeing and hearing simultaneously. But actually, there are many jitas in between. That's why we learn to understand. And it depends on at what moment there are conditions to begin to study, not to just listen and understand the words or the meaning, but just to study, to begin to understand seeing as that which experiences now. And it experiences only that which is seen. No one at all. Not I see, and not an object which is seen. Otherwise, there must be pleasant moment and pleasant moment, the idea of I, the idea of people and things all around. No matter from life to life, it has to be like this.
Yesterday afternoon, Ajahn talked about seeing, see visible object. Sometimes I understand, but I not clearly understand. Would you please tell again about Ajahn describe or about seeing visible object? Look like seeing visible object, but the reality arising passed away immediately. We never known, but nimitta look like, and I am not talking about aloka, but I just talking about nimitta and look like together with the sanya, like within about together, seem like together with otherwise we can know people or would you play again, say more? You understand what I'm saying?
Yes,
yesterday,
yes.
I am
because
remember,
see,
but not clear much.
Let you see that realities are not different from this moment at all. But it depends on whether there is understanding or not understanding reality as it is. But no one can change reality. It has to be as soon as I see in, the sign or the nibbana appear, it seems like together at once, because of the rapidity of the succession of the arising and falling away of that which is seen itself. That's why we hear again and hear again about the truth that in order to just directly experience that which is seen with right understanding to the degree that it can, abandoning the idea of something in it. So it means that it's the beginning of understanding clearly that what Buddha taught was so true about even visible object of that is seen. Nobody can change a characteristic which is only reality that can be seen among all dhammas.
Ajahn, seeing, seeing always there, it is true. Seeing, because
we got
chakku vinya, I sense always there.
Not always, not but always. It seems like it's always. Yeah, because there's hearing in between, thinking in between, and while it's not the seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, there's no seeing. So each moment is conditioned. Each reality which arises is conditioned.
It's like yesterday we were talking about how, like now, it seems that the world is light all the time, but actually only at a moment of seeing visible object does light appear. And it's just one very brief moment after seeing the other vipaka cittas, kusala, akusala cittas, no light appears, no seeing at all. Bhavanga cittas, many, many mind or processes, no seeing at all. And the same with bodily experience. It seems like there is painful feeling from the mosquito bite all the time, but actually it's one very brief moment of vipaka, one moment of bodily experience with painful feeling. And then other vipaka cittas, other kusala, akusala cittas, in the sense door process, no bodily experience. Bhavanga cittas, no bodily experience. Kusala, akusala cittas in the mind door process, no bodily experience. So moments when visible object appears, or tangible object appears, or sound appears, just very, very short. But because there are so many processes arising and falling away so fast, so many visible objects seen, even though there are other cittas in between, that's why there is a sign of what is seen, a nimitta. But actually, it's just a very short moment.
The more panya develops, what does it understand?
Say again, please.
The more panya develops, what does it? What does panya understand?
Panya understands arises and pass away. One there.
I mean, how much ignorance is accumulated? That's what panya
about thinking.
Yeah, so much that it takes time and it needs clear comprehension or right understanding only. Yeah.
At the beginning you were saying, which is everything that was correct, you were saying, okay, seeing now, seeing in Australia the same, seeing anywhere, only visible objects seen anywhere, so no matter where one is, there is reality, there can be understanding. So what you said is perfectly correct, but the problem is that one's own old way of thinking and one's strong akusala tendencies and the tendency to, for, we call it delirious thinking or being lost in one's own stories is so strong. So that's why in the beginning, because the understanding is not firm enough, so that's why it's helpful to have many, many reminders. And that's why when we were chatting, we were saying that actually, when one's made an effort to come here, it's good to, as Tom said, appreciate the opportunity, and because actually we all need to hear a lot. A friend was saying to Nina last year, oh, I don't know why you've heard so much about seeing invisible objects. I don't know why you still come on these trips.
Yes. Yeah, he said, why do I, so many years now, more than 40 years, and why do I come again and again? So I answered, well, the listening and the considering is never enough. We have so much ignorance, and I always learn something new. My answer.
When I heard Thanachan mention about when Panya get developed more and more, and Panya will know that we accumulated a lot of kilesa. So this remind me about the commentary talking about the four kinds of bhavana. The first one is sampara bhavana, develop all kinds of akusala, wholesome. The other one is nirantara bhavana, develop wholesomeness continuously, never stop. The third one is jilakara bhavana, bhavana never end, endlessly. And the last one is sakkaccha bhavana, bhavana with develop awesome with all that respect to the awesomeness. So this commentary mentioned about four kinds of bhavana. That means the one who has very knowledgeable or a lot of panya know that bhavana has to be taken for a long, long time and never ends. So I think that's a very good reminder for us about the, how long that we have to develop our understanding for a long, long time and never stop. Never stop the developing of panya.
Bhavana means making grow, so that in itself is not quickly. We have to have patience for samatha and for vipassana, for both kinds of bhavana. Like we have to listen to Ajahn again and again because we forget about the present moment. In the present reality.
And I thought about 2 days ago that you mentioned about worrying about when the last chuti chitta, the last chitta before chuti chitta, before death.
Yes.
And because we accumulate a lot of akusala during this life, and you're afraid that what is the next life that we gonna be. But when consider about the jila kala bhavana, so I think we have nothing to be worried about because even next life is not good, we will come back to bhavana again for the next life, never end. So I think no worry about dying and
yeah,
no worry about
I had
the
some
next
worry
life.
About but it is conditioned by karma, the last five javana jitas. One of the many, many karmas in past life can condition the next rebirth. And that means that it conditions the last javana jitas also to be kusala or akusala. And then there will be the next rebirth as a result of that karma.
Yesterday, we talked about Nibbana, and you mentioned the word Namati or Namiti. Namati. So I would like to understand more about Nama, Namati, and, you know, all that related to it.
It's a bit of a play on words, but we read about how all namas bend towards the object, and bend towards the object is Namati. The present tense Namati, bend towards the object. But Nibbana causes or conditions the namas to bend towards it, and nameti is the causative of namati, so it causes nameti.
It's an explanation or a way of remembering why namas are so called, and also why nibbana is classified as a nama.
Bending, that is a little bit difficult for me to understand.
Well, as Sarah said, it's a play on words because of nama and namati.
Mm-hmm.
We find it so often in the commentaries, don't we? You've seen it before about rupa and rupati. It's called a rupa because it dissolves, or it, what is the word, crumbles away.
It just means experiences the object. Namas experience the object. But Nibbana doesn't experience an object, but it conditions the cittas to experience it.
Since citta is the reality that arises to experience, so which way it arises to bend towards an object, that's all. That's why it experiences the object and the manners that it experience, like it bent toward the object, that's all.
The meaning of nama? Nama, because in some translations that I read, it's translated as name.
So nama can mean name or nama, the reality. So we have to know in context what is being referred to. But sometimes it's confusing because often in translations they use name when they're actually referring to nama, the reality. So this needs to be clear. Like if it's talking about nama or the name that is given to Pusati or something like this, then clearly it's the name. But if it's talking about the reality that experiences an object, it is
there are two different things.
Two different meanings. Yes.
Okay.
But often they get confused together.
Mm-hmm. And also I think yesterday a point you said at the end of the discussions that there are countless magacitta for sotapanna, countless kinds of sotapanna magacitta. I couldn't get that point.
Say it again, please.
I think I heard you said that there were countless kinds of suptapati magacitta.
Yeah.
So why not? Can...
Why not? Because of different accumulation.
Uh-huh.
Satanusari and so on, or titipata, what is predominant.
Sada is predominant, or just different kinds and different objects experienced. And...
Just like now, we're all interested in the Dharma, but different accumulations, different tendencies, different ways of asking question or listening, or some very strong Sada, maybe the understanding is weaker, for others very strong understanding, or... just different tendencies. And I think the point she was making was that if we spend our time trying to work out or analyze these details, then we forget about realities, more delirious thinking, right? And this morning on the bus, I don't know where Bong is, unfortunately, I had quite a nice discussion with Bop and Bong on the bus, and we were talking about differences between just rambling or just chatting away like we might at lunch, which is just rambling, but in English we wouldn't call it delirious thinking. And when it's delirious thinking in English, it's quite strong. It kind of suggests it's really quite crazy thinking. But I think either you or Bong was saying that when the Thai expression Pajun or Pajun is used, it's more like rambling or not so strong or delirious, quite strong, quite. Well, I'm just wondering, in the Thai, when you say bunpa, does it mean almost like a little bit crazy way of thinking? Because when we say delirious, it's very strong.
Just mean you talk about karma without understanding.
Without any understanding.
How about if we can something, because all the time we're talking about I, so if can be something we talk without I?
If you don't use the word I, how can you know who?
If all the time we're talking about I, very danger, it is true.
If you don't use the word I, do you know who? That's why we have to use the word
conventional. We have to talk I.
So that is not as important as the understanding. When there is an understanding of reality, even Buddha, he has to use the word to represent himself.
And I think I just want to take another point that you raised earlier. Like we talk about anattaness and no I, no me, no you, and no people. And what about our understanding? And we might think that when we talk about that, we should have the direct realization of that. But if you already heard about what we have been discussing since a few days, we are all at the beginning level, and what we understand is intellectual understanding. But I think an intellectual understanding is already very important, and it already make a huge difference in the way we see life and the way we go on in our life. So it has a big value. So even you don't need to worry about whether we really experience the anattaness, but we just understand more and more intellectually about it, and that already helps a lot. Would you agree? What do you think?
I get lost your story.
In the beginning, we may think that we would like to directly understand all the realities or the rising and falling away, but then when we begin to know more about how much ignorance there is, we begin to appreciate how valuable it is just to consider wisely, just as an intellectual level, about realities such as visible object now.
A comment on whether we can say no being, no person is there without really understanding it at the moment, right? Yeah, because that was picked up by Herm when the comment was made. And Dham's point is that there is an understanding at intellectual level that is the way things are. Even though there's not direct understanding at the moment, we can still refer to these things because they have been understood at an intellectual level.
Not to dismiss the value of the intellectual understanding.
Can Panya understand that moment?
Yes.
Yes.
You mentioned a couple of questions, Tam, on the discussion, this relating to the Vitakka Santana Sutta. And I think we touched on one in a discussion which I reported back. I don't know if you saw it, and now I can't remember the detail, but there was something a little bit more. Do you remember the details that you were asking
about? I think it was about bhavana. Adichitta. Yeah, adichitta. Right, adichitta. And in that sutta, it seems to suggest that only the citta with the people with jhana and having the jhana as basis for insight, that is called the adichitta. And then they say that the citta in the bhavana is not adichitta. So it was a little bit confusing, but I read your comments. You know, you reported about the discussions at the foundation and a chance comment that about that, and I think I got the point.
It's a matter of context of what is meant by adi panya. Mm-hmm. I think it was to do with, it was what is meant by adi panya, adi citta, in a particular context.
Right, because it seems like the 10 course, yes, it was like...
related to the punya kiriyavatu, the right. 10 meritorious kinds of kusala, mm-hmm. and bhavana, it was included. But in that context, like maybe now, there may be some understanding, but not yet adi citta, adi panya, because it's not yet of the degree of vipassana jnana, for example. So it depends on the context, how much understanding there is.
Can they be separated? The three, adi-sila, adi-citta, and adi-panya, can they be separated?
No, because they can be adi only when there is understanding.
It's so great, from intellectual understanding to conditioned moment of direct understanding or direct awareness, that it's used the word adi. See? Not ordinary.
John, going back to something that was discussed this morning, mana, and the question of, you know, Sotapanna has, there is no more belief in the existence of self, yet the Ranjan asked about mana, how can there still be mana? And you said there is still clinging to bhava, becoming. Okay, I didn't hear that. That makes sense. So, still clinging to bhava is related to mana.
I,
yes.
Bhava of I.
Oh, the evolution of what we think of as I.
So, as because you see the sotapanna before becoming enlightened as a sotapanna, there must be the understanding of whatever is now.
Yes.
If there is mana, panya understands it as just a reality, not self.
Okay.
See, so all dharmas, no matter they're very strong or weak, loba, very subtle or not, even mana and everything is known by panya before becoming sotapanna as not self.
Yes.
Otherwise, there cannot be the eradication from taking mana for I with wrong understanding.
Right.
But mana is still there, like lopa is still there, dosa is still there for sotapanna, but
yes.
No misunderstanding taking it from I anymore.
No, but there's still, so there, when we say they're still clinging to bhava, becoming.
It's not I, but it's just is still clinging, like clinging to anything.
The continuation.
At that very moment, it's not the final eradication of all defilement yet. It's the great task to eradicate defilement, and it's great task to listen carefully, to really understand that it means reality right now.
Yeah, it means every moment we have to understand only nama and rupa.
When there is no understanding, it is a kusala or other kind of kusala. They are all dhamma, but panya is not keen enough to understand reality, all reality as not self, because it has to be intellectual understanding from hearing and considering and firm enough to be satyayana, never changed the understanding from... When it's right understanding and they develop the panya, so keen enough to abandoning the idea of self from that which appears. See? Now there is seeing, and we talk about seeing, the direct understanding of seeing. So how can there be the eradication of self from the seeing? It takes time.
What about, because I read the book talking about the who want not become the sotapanna yet, but like a small sotapanna? Yeah, can be or not? Do you understand?
Yeah, because you see that before the kilesa can be completely absolutely eradicated stage by stage, there must be right understanding, not only intellectual understanding. Because everyone can hear, everyone can think, everyone can see what it's meant, but it's not the direct understanding. See, for example now, what is seen, there is no one in it. This is the way to eliminate the attachment to that which is seen as something permanent. Otherwise, there is no way to see visible object as not anybody, anything at all. Like other reality, hardness, it's hardness, it's not a table, it's not a chair. So visible object is visible object, it's not anyone at all. Each reality must be directly experienced with right understanding, on and on and on and on, until ignorance and attachment cannot cover the true nature of reality at any moment unexpectedly by anatta. That's why at moment of understanding reality, it is right understanding of anattaness, on and on and on and on and on, never atta. But the atta is hidden, it is not completely or permanently or absolutely eradicated yet. That's why even right now we say that seeing is not self. But who says? And who sees is still I, not a reality which arises to experience or just see whatever appears now. See? So from intellectual understanding, it becomes the conditions for right awareness with right understanding directly of a reality by conditions, no matter when, unexpectedly. But at that moment, panya understands the difference between moment with direct awareness and moment which is not direct awareness. And this is the beginning of patipatti, to attain, to reach, to approach the true nature of reality with right awareness directly and right panya together. But it's so very, very, very little, see. In the beginning.
What about, do we need a development 10 parami, this life and the past life, we if we now listen the Dhamma, we have something little bit 10 parami, last life.
Anytime can be. When Panya understands the subtlety of reality, it is parami, that it cannot be absolutely eradicated just from hearing or some moments of direct awareness. And it is virya parami. It takes time, but not by anyone at all, because virya arises with right understanding and right awareness at that moment. And anidana parami, resolution, right understanding can experience whatever appears right then by conditions. What is lack is the lack of understanding, not enough to condition right direct awareness. So everything goes on with more confidence on panya. Panya can know. And when it appears, it's exactly like that which one has heard before. Exactly the same. Because the truth is the truth, and each word of the Buddha is the truth. No one can change the characteristic of reality. So Panya begins to know that this is only intellectual understanding. And when there are conditions enough to condition right awareness, Panya knows the difference. And it begins to know that Panya is so very little, not enough, and no expectation to have more at any time. Just leave it to conditions. It indicates that Panya is strong enough not to hope or to wish or to expect anything at all.
Doesn't matter how long, how many life, mm-hmm. we no need to expect mm-hmm. yeah. about Panya.
Yeah. Yeah. Like the time of Samma Sambuddho Thipankarana, Thipankara, people at that time, they knew that if they couldn't attain enlightenment, becoming Sotapanna in the time of Thipankarana, and Sumedha Dhamma, and Sumedha was designed by the Buddha to be Buddha within so long time, years and years. They rejoiced that if they couldn't attain enlightenment in the time of this Buddha, they still have conditions if they have to attain enlightenment in the time of this Buddha. And this Buddha had met 24 Buddhas in between the time of Thipankara Samma Sambuddho and his time to develop parami, to enlighten the truth of seeing right now, which is covered by ignorance and attachment. So the moment of understanding the teachings will gradually clean up or eliminate ignorance and attachment little by little.
Yang, what about, for example, this life, Panya development just a little bit, and ignorance, for example, Panya development just half, and ignorance about 9.5, but next life, we don't have development Panya at all, and 9.5 in orange, this light accumulated, next light maybe double, and that's why we have to more sankhara.
Do you know your previous life?
No.
If there's no condition to hear Dhamma, that person will never hear Dhamma at all. If there is no accumulation from past life, previous life, to condition moment of hearing the teachings of the Buddha, that this wouldn't happen at all. And at moment of hearing, it depends on how much understanding is there. So one knows about the previous accumulation. And so when there's understanding right now and keep on hearing, studying, that can be conditioned for more understanding.
Then
I think sometimes people think, like you're saying, that so much agusala being accumulated, so we need to do more, right? Ajahn is explaining that if that's the case, then so many past lives when agusala has been accumulated too, but yet in this life there is the opportunity to hear Dhamma and to develop some understanding. And Ajahn has said before that the power of understanding is so powerful compared to the agusala that we don't need to make the kind of comparison you're making about the relative quantities of agusala versus panya.
Because right understanding can understand agusala, but agusala cannot understand right understanding.
Earlier you said that should we understand that there's only nama and rupa every moment? Did you ask that? Or I misunderstood? At the beginning, you asked a question and just wanted to confirm that it was your question.
There's a matter of beginning or with no beginning, but without thinking.
No, I mean I think that I have heard you ask Ajahn that should we understand that there's only nama and rupa every moment.
Her question was,
yeah,
does the understanding of nama and rupa, nama, have to be every moment of nama? I think that was her question to Ajahn.
I think it was clarified, and she appreciates it cannot be every moment, because moments of awareness or understanding are not common. Moments of attachment and ignorance are very common. So if there is a moment of understanding, it's not so common. Even now when we're having discussion, is it understanding all the time? Impossible.
What can I not really understand?
Why not every moment? Because each moment is conditioned. When it's a moment of agusala, at that moment it is agusala which cannot understand anything. So panya, it depends on there is condition for panya to arise or to understand what? Not by choice, but by conditions.
And when it seems that sanya is not working, actually sanya works at every moment. So even when we're forgetful or confused or can't really hear anymore, and it seems that we've forgotten what we heard, it seems that sanya is not working, because conventionally it seems there's no memory, but actually sanya never stops working.
And what about it? Can be sanya not working? It can be?
Does sanya arise? Does sanya arise with every moment?
Yes.
So it works every moment.
has lots and lots of rests, but Sanya never rests every moment. Back to Anne's question about mana and the answer about clinging to bhava. And so is the suggestion that it is because of clinging to bhava that there is mana, when there's no clinging?
Yes, because being such and such is bhava, to be such and such.
Right. So no clinging to bhava, no mana. That's why I only eradicated it by the arahat, when no more clinging to bhava, because even the anagami who has no more clinging to sense objects, but still the subtle clinging to bhava, that's why still the very subtle mana.
Isn't it because of that, that sometimes mana is also referred to as I am, right?
Not necessary. Because even there is no word, mana can appear as mana.
Just because I'm reminded of a sutta, and it was about a monk who was already an anagami, and he was explaining to other friends that he was not yet an arahat, but he was only an anagami. So he said that he doesn't have the ditti, but he's still clinging to the idea of I am.
Bhava.
Bhava.
For example,
right.
The Aruba Brahma, say, does the Brahma in that plane still have mana? Aruba Brahma. See? No one there at all. But still, condition of mana can arise.
John, I think I heard you just say mana wants to be something. Can you say
clinging
more about that?
To bhava, becoming. Even in Aruba Brahma plane, no one there. So it need not to think about the other or I am.
Mana is really much deeper and more subtle than we think of it as conceit.
Dentity.
Or comparison. I'm sorry?
Dentity.
Yes.
At that level, it would be, any example would be so subtle.
Yes.
That there'd be no way of understanding it anyway.
Right, so, no, not from here. I see, yes, it's much more subtle. The gross manas sort of pops out pretty easily, but
as long as ignorance and clinging is still there,
yeah,
mana is there.
So when you say that in the Arupa Brahma realms, no one's there, what do you mean?
Can akusala citta arise? Can akusala citta arise?
Mana?
And?
Now I just wanted to understand the...
Depending on accumulation.
Okay. But when you said that there's no one there, what do you mean by that?
No friends, no mom, no dad, no one. Only the nama.
Okay.
Without rupa.
Uh-huh.
See? Even rupa is not there.
Okay. And still there's idea.
Akusala citta can arise by conditions. Akusala
citta. Not idea, but there's still the sense.
Just
of...
Just talk about akusala. Can akusala arise?
Yes.
Can dosa arise?
Dosa, no.
See?
So getting back to Thumb's question about no one there, is it the case that the being in the Arupa Brahma is not aware of the existence of other beings there?
no condition to know who's there at all.
No.
Whether there's someone or no one.
No experiences through the sense doors, exactly. So...
Lots of beings, but they don't know each other.
Beings that are reborn in the Arupa Brahma, they can be like just not Arya, right? Like people who have attained the Arupa Jhana can be reborn there. So can there be ditti arising there? Okay.
On whether, first of all, there must still be the latent tendency for ditti, but then it depends whether there are conditions for it to manifest.
Mm. What about delirious thinking?
Rise most of the time.
We've been discussing over the last few days about how ditti is associated with thoughts about the way things are in reality. So there may not be conditions to have that kind of thinking. Just, I don't know what there would be thinking about, but there may not be the conditions for those sorts of issues to come to mind.
Animal, lots of loba, and the tendency is there, but no conditions for it to arise in that life.
Would you like to find out?
It's it's gone already.
Thanachan, I have a question about mana, conceit. Conceit means compared to others, but in... because I remember that. So not necessary to compare to others. And what can it mean when Arupa Brahma cling to bhava? Important. Seeing important of bhava. Oh, don't have to compare to others. Oh.
Why have they painted this wall yellow? Mana, very simple, yeah. Like if I were designing this house, I'd make it a softer color or mana. Importance of me. So don't need to, why is it this color? Something like that can be mana.
Maybe more beautiful than others. More beautiful than other house. Don't have to. Yeah.
Why is it this color? Behind that way of thinking is the idea that my idea is the good one. But even though there's no comparing, it's just I look at it. Why this color can be mana so quickly?
It's gonna be like it's so beautiful, something like that. So it's gonna be lopa. If like it's so beautiful, it'd be right.
Well, if we just take, I could do better, or that's just how I would do it. For example. It can be just loba, but then also can be related to one's own taste.
More than the other.
I didn't get it. Feel it.
Are you happy now?
Yes.
Happy to be me.
Yeah.
I don't want to be the other person. Happy to be who I am.
Yes.
Yeah, don't want to be anyone else.
To be a woman, yeah. Happy not to be a monk can be mana. so very common. And
even just not thinking about one or others, just happy to be me. See?
Wave the flag.
I think even when we hear our name, there can be conceit, not thinking about anyone else, just hearing the name.
Nathan?
Oh, no conceit.
Dao's expression last week when he's talking about looking, you know, he looks in the mirror and says, oh, ta-da, oh, you're looking pretty good.
That's so true.
Think of how
else,
often.
No one else, but still.
Yeah.
See?
Happy to meet me, oh, Jonathan, or
sorry,
a bet. It's not the right colour. Behind the ideas is the idea that me is the good one.
Earlier, Tenajan said clinging to be such and such is the same meaning, happy to be me. It's in mana. Thank you.
So we all have mana.
So many more subtle kinds to be known.
It's different from moment of happy, only pleasant feeling.
So what's the difference? Why me?
Why me?
It's just like enjoying the fruit, no thought about me in any way. Just loba.
It's for me. Only for me.
The microphone is just
only once upon a time.
Yeah. This means that every moment falls away and is the past.
All the difficulties early in the day completely gone, completely to be forgotten, or lost in, gone in samsara, so only ever this moment. So there can be a beginning again and again to develop understanding.
But not forgot than about seeing the visible object, hearing hear the sound, and so on.
But the
seeing, Ajahn always remind, we think we forget something, we forget something, but something not there.
And the answer is only by condition.
I once upon a time means the seeing this morning completely gone, seeing even a moment ago completely gone, never to arise again. So totally gone.
Be happy. Everything's gone. No more.
Ajahn, you talk about the pain happy, but you talk about few seconds ago about that why happy, but happy, the real happy. Forget about happy. Say something about happy.
When happy arises and there's the idea, happy to be me, mana, attachment mean, even at moment of being happy?
Because I am happy, and because happy do have the result. Happy I, because I am happy because I know something. But then,
what about unhappy to be me?
Same.